goede mensen vind je razendsnel op Temper. Plaats je shift op het platform en kies zelf uit duizenden freelance professionals op basis van hun ratings en skills. Van 1 tot 100 man, voor 1 shift of regelmatig, je vindt ze op Temper. Al vanaf 18,90 per uur. Temper, shift your workforce.
De Perestroikast. Een blik op Oost-Europa.
It is a marathon, as we see, but we will not lose this belief.
She met them all. Angela Merkel, Emmanuel Macron, Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte, but not the Russians, officially. Although she would like to have a cup of coffee with Sergei Lavrov, the Russian Minister of Foreign Affairs.
For sure I will. We are not close to anybody. We are not closed to anybody. We are open.
In an exclusive interview, Floris Zakon and Gerjan Haan from Dutch podcast Perestroikast talk to Belarusian opposition leader Svetlana Tikhanovskaya to mark half a year of protests in her home country.
I know that the majority of people voted for me on these elections, so I'm like president-elected already.
Ms. Tikhanovskaya lives in exile in Lithuania's capital Vilnius. Like many other members of the opposition, her husband Sergei Tikhanovsky is in jail in Belarus, like many others who rallied against Alexander Lukashenko.
Everything in our jails are made to humiliate people, to destroy minds, to break your dignity.
Ms. Tikhanovskaya is fighting for Belarus without Mr. Lukashenko, who claimed a landslide victory in August while the opposition accused him of electoral fraud.
They need somebody who is kind, just really kind to people.
The EU sees Mr. Lukashenko's inauguration as illegitimate, the very last word, and imposed sanctions against him and other members of the regime.
Ms. Tikhanovskaya is looking for support within the European Union and therefore visited Berlin, The Hague, Stockholm, many more capitals.
We are waiting for the fourth sanction list and hope it will be wide enough to give Belarusian people confidence.
She met the French president in Vilnius, and now she is with us from the Lithuanian capital of Vilnius, of course, to elaborate extensively on what's currently going on in Belarus, her motherhood. We talk with her about her willingness to speak with Moscow, her disappointment in the EU, new sanctions, and her faith in having a Belarus without Lukashenko.
So some hints for you.
My name is Geert-Jan Haan.
I am Floris Akkerman.
And you're listening to BNR's Perestroikast. Vilnius calling. Welcome, Ms. Tikhanovskaya. Dobro pozdravat. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for inviting.
Let's start with the fact that it's exactly 6 months after the presidential elections. According to the Belarusian Central Election Commission, incumbent president of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, won the election. However, a lot of Belarusians do not recognize the legitimacy of Lukashenko, and all heads of the foreign ministries of the EU countries recognize the presidential elections falsified. What's the biggest achievement so far for the Belarusian opposition in her fight against Lukashenko?
I suppose that our best achievement is that Belarusian people understood. They realized that they will never be able to live.
We have been beaten and
in the same in our jails. Regime, under the state of this incredible violence, we haven't changed our mind.
This is the most important thing.
Do you think, is Belarus ready to turn into a democratic country after Lukashenko has left? Or can Belarus only be governed by maybe autocratic leaders who are part of the current system?
For sure, what we are doing now, we are trying to build a democratic country. But as a matter of fact, not knowing what it is to live in a democratic country, maybe not even every person will be ready for these changes. And it will not be it will be rather difficult process, as a matter of fact, because our people got used to the situation when somebody above telling them what to do, and they just are doing this. A democratic country, people have responsibility. They have to be responsible for their votes, for their decisions. They have to understand that they are important for this country, important for this government, and that their voices are important. And it sometimes may be difficult for people. So we will have to study how to live in democracy. So many countries went through these transformations. I'm sure that Belarusian people will get used to a new form of safeness, new form of, of building their lives and knowing the price of democracy. They put all their efforts to live in democracy, to build democracy.
Yes, Ms. Tikhanovskaya, right now your first goal is to strive for freely and fairly organized presidential elections, right?
Yes, it is right.
And is it also your goal to become the first freely and fairly chosen president of Belarus?
The situation is a little bit different because I'm ready to take responsibility and to be with my people, to act as a leader, doing everything to start these new elections, to organize these elections. But I'm not going to participate in these free and fair elections, because I have promised to Belarusians that I will not, though I've got a lot of proposals, please stay with us, be a new candidate, but I'm not going to participate. I'm sure that any person can be useful for the country, even not being the president.
Okay, So you will not be the next president of Belarus?
I know that the majority of people voted for me on these elections, so I'm like president elected already, but I just ready to organize new elections, but I'm not going to participate in these elections.
And who could this new leader be? Could it be your husband Sergei or former banker Babarika? Both wanted to participate in the presidential elections but are now in jail. Or could it be Latushka, the former culture minister under Lukashenko, someone from the current system?
You know, I hope that at last everybody who have strengths, who feel these strengths to participate in presidential election will have right without any limitations to participate in these elections. It can be Sergei, and I suppose he will be, Babarika, Latushka, I don't know, Sivilinets, Tsipkala. Everyone will have chance to show their program to the people, and people will at last have chance to choose anybody whom they see as the ruler, as the leader of their country. So personally, me, of course, I will vote for my husband.
How is your husband doing right now? Is it easy to get in touch with him and to understand what his situation is like right now?
As a matter of fact, in our country, we don't have opportunity to communicate to the prisoners through phone calls or to visit them. So the only way to connect is through the lawyer. I write letters, and she shows my letters to him, and he can say something to me only like this. And, of course, in our country, I'm sure that you can't even imagine how people are treated in our prisons. I'm sure you can't even imagine this, because they are held in inhuman conditions, as a matter of fact. For example, my husband, last 4 months, he's in solitary cells, in solitary cell. And usually if something, I don't know, you argue with a soldier or with policemen just because they didn't give you soap or didn't give you towel or, I don't know, didn't give toilet paper or you ask for water, you can be put in punishment cell just for nothing, you know. And one of the diplomats I met recently told me that Belarusian prisons are the worst prisons, the worst conditions he has ever seen in the world. And everything in our jails are made to humiliate people, to destroy minds, to break your dignity. You know, they are always under psychological and physical pressure there. So they're, you know, the situation is devastating, as a matter of fact, with the politician prisoners and with those who are just in jails after their demonstrations, after they were brave enough to say their words.
We were talking about fair and free elections. One of our leading Belarus experts in the Netherlands is Franka Hummels, and she said recently in our podcast that Belarus might not be ready yet to have a female president. While there is so much support right now for you, but also for your female colleagues who are leading the opposition, what do you think? Does she have a point? Will it be very difficult for a female leader in Belarus to lead the country?
I think she may be a bit mistaken. So is we have never had another president except Lukashenko, even a man. So, you know, we can't experience, we have never experienced this difference between, you know, men or women in our country. But I'm absolutely sure that Belarusian people will accept any president. Moreover, even if it maybe female president will be much more admirable, because Belarusian people need care about them. They need to feel that they are important. And I'm sure that female president or female leader can give them this feeling to the people that you are all in my heart, you are all my children, I take care about you. No, usually women are considered to be kinder and milder. So, and maybe these feelings are what Belarusians are looking for. But Belarusians, I think maybe they, you know, they still, the feeling that a man stronger than women is still very widely spread in Belarus. So I can suppose that they prefer a man to a woman because, you know, it is considered that men are better educated in economics, in building country. But our people need warmness. And this warmness only a woman can give. So, something that like this. We, on the one hand, we need a strong ruler who will raise the economic of our country, who will build this new relationship with other countries that we have lost during last 26 years. But on the other hand, they need somebody who is kind, just really kind to people, who understand their pain. So it can be as women as men. So I don't know.
You met Angela Merkel, you met Emmanuel Macron, you met also Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte last year. Was it a wise decision to meet Western leaders for getting their support?
You know, I met those leaders who supported Belarus in tough time, who didn't recognize Lukashenko as legitimate president, who supported Belarusian people in their fight for free and fair elections, for their wish to become democratic country. So, of course, it was a wise decision to get this support, because you know, it inspired Belarusian people. First of all, we understood that despite of the politics of Lukashenko that was directed only to Russia at that moment, you know, all these years, and he like built walls between Europe and Belarus, but we met with people, with leaders who supported Belarusian people. So maybe I misunderstood your question, but of course it was a wise decision.
Yes, because but on the other hand, it's now easy for your opponents to say Tikhanovskaya is a Western puppet. She wants to divide the country. The West wants to take control over Belarus.
Our so-called government and ex-president, he always blamed somebody in what's going on in Belarus. Before, he blamed my husband Sergei and Babalika that they were pro-Russian, and he blamed, I don't know, Russia that they involved into Belarusian politics. But after he got jailed, these people, and you know, I think if I went after the election, if I went to Russia with my children, he would continue to blame Russia that I'm pro-Russian, and he would rotate, you know, his words indifferently, how it's convenient, you know. He's always blaming somebody.
Mm-hmm. Do we need the Kremlin to get rid of Lukashenko?
The crime?
The Kremlin, Russia, oh. Moscow.
I'm sure that only Belarusian people themselves, the pressure, the wish of Belarusian people will be able to make Lukashenko step away. Some countries can influence the situation somehow, also with the pressure, like we are asking European countries to put pressure on this regime economically and individually, but it's up to Belarusian people. Nobody will help us. Nobody will come and say, so Lukashenko step away, and he will. No, it's up to Belarusian people. Maybe Russia, you know, Russia is considered to be a very influential player in Belarus, but, you know, we like, we are not arguing with this, and maybe this is wrong, because there shouldn't be any country that can influence the situation in Belarus. It's only up to Belarusian people. We have deep trade relationship with Russia, and our people, Belarusians and Russians, they are friends. But we will continue this trade relationship. We will continue. We are not going, I don't know, Russia to be our enemies or something. Mm-hmm. So it's not their question. It's not Western question, no American question to solve the problem in Belarus.
Ms. Tikhanovskaya, talking about Russia and the current regime over there, did someone from the Kremlin or someone from the regime approached you to have a conversation with you, to have a coffee with you, and to talk about possible future collaboration?
I wanted to joke, but I will not. Okay. No, as a matter of fact, we haven't had any official contact from Russia. And the only contact we had, if we can say it, contact with Mr. Savinykh from Belarusian regime, was on the discussion on the OSCE platform, but it was like not really conversation. It was participation in one event. And some of our representatives are trying to reach people from regime, you know, from administration or from nomenclatura. Somewhere we are succeeded. We can't name the people we are contacting to, but we have such unofficial contacts, but nothing official has happened.
So if Mr. Sergei Lavrov would come to Vilnius and ask you to go to a coffee bar, would you accept that invitation?
For sure I will. We are not close to anybody. We are not closed to to anybody. We are open. We are open to tell our position, to tell what we are fighting for, because maybe they don't understand there, or we really ready to communicate to everyone. It doesn't matter Russia, Ukraine, Australia, or what else. Russia is our neighboring country, and of course we would like to start communicating with them.
What Floris and I are wondering about sometimes is this week in Belarus, and especially in your strife, in your battle, you are showing the world that it's 6 months after the illegitimate elections took place. It's a week full of solidarity in Belarus. Stand for solidarity. That's what you're striving for. What we are wondering is our leader in the Netherlands, Mark Rutte, but also Angela Merkel in Germany or Macron in France, they are showing their solidarity. They're showing their support. But it looks like it's nothing concrete also from Brussels. Except for some sanctions, there's not a lot of pressure on the current regime. Are you disappointed a little bit in their lack of support?
You know, me personally and Belarusians, I really appreciate and really grateful for all the actions that European countries and others did for Belarus recently. But in reality, Belarusian people were sure that, you know, European countries can act much, much braver, and that their decisions would be stronger, and the sanction list, looking at the level of the repression, would be wider. It was wonderful, all the words of support, you know, all the acts of solidarity, but it wasn't enough pressure from the Belarusian point of view. You know, it's like, it's such a deep pain for Belarusians, and Belarusians were sure that, you know, the leaders, that the representatives of European countries will feel this pain and will act deeper, will act stronger. The messages and actions will be, again, braver, I don't know. So we are waiting for the fourth sanction list, mm-hmm. and hope it will be wide enough to give Belarusian people confidence that Europe really cares about victims, about level of repressions, about rights of Belarusians. So we will see, and we hope, and we are saying this all the time, that be braver, because this is going on in the center of Europe. We are also responsible for the values you are advocating for.
What kind of concrete measures, steps should the EU do to put more pressure on Lukashenko?
You know, the help for Belarusian people can be based on three pillars. First of all, it's pressure, and the European Union and the United Kingdom and other countries, they can freeze imports from Belarusian state companies. I have to repeat, state companies. We are not talking about private companies. These countries can expand sanction list with individual and targeted economic sanctions. European Union banks should stop lending to Belarusian government state companies and banks like Belarus Bank and Belagroprom Bank. And companies from the European countries should condition their collaboration with their Belarusian partners on them respecting the labor rights of their workers, speak up against repressions. The second pillar of this help is support and solidarity. So, you know, you can set up support package for Belarus for short-term funding for operational needs of civil society, media, students, workers, and so on. You can develop and announce a long-term assistance plan for reform and development of democratic Belarus. visa procedures can be simplified for the repressed and fleeing, or humanitarian corridor can be opened. And the third pillar is justice. You know, there is a law default in Belarus. People are judged, innocent people are judged and sentenced to prison for many years. And now we have to look for justice in other countries. So you, as European Union or, I don't know, national level, can begin creation of an international commission to investigate murders and torture of Belarusian citizens as crimes against humanity. And, for example, start criminal cases against Belarusian police and officials according to Universal Jurisdiction for Crimes Against Belarusians. The first cases have been already opened in Lithuania. Now it's ready to be opened in Poland and Czech Republic. So any country can start the same processes in their countries according to their laws. And any country can support systematic collection of evidence of the regime's crimes. We have special book of crimes where any person can put on evidences of such crimes. So any country can support this call. So some hints for you.
Yeah, you elaborated on that quite extensively. There is a discussion and debate throughout Europe about Nord Stream 2, and it became an even more controversial project after the arrest of Mr. Navalny in Russia and the poisoning of Mr. Navalny first this summer. Putting this subject in the perspective of Belarus, would it put more or less pressure on Mr. Lukashenko if Germany and the Netherlands would decide to cancel the Nord Stream 2 project, because our country and Germany, we are possibly gaining a lot of profit out of this, what's your stand on this?
I would be grateful if you don't ask me this question, because I don't have a position that wouldn't divide Belarusians in this question. I can't took this or that side, you know.
Okay. Why would this divide Belarusians?
You know, because there are some sensitive questions for Belarusians, like go to West or go to the Russia, or to choose one language as the only, Belarusians is the only state language, or let it stay to language country. And these questions have to be solved by Belarusian people, not me.
Ms. Tikhanovskaya, in my opinion, the political situation in Belarus right now appears at an impasse, because Lukashenko refuses to go, and you and the opposition are until now unable to force his ouster. Do you agree with this analysis? There's some kind of deadlock.
Maybe it seems like this, but we know that Lukashenko's regime is supported only by policemen, by his Amon and Gubopik people. And our strategy now, and the rest of the nation, you know, they are against him. But it's rather easy to make people feel this fear that will just like not stop, but calm down people. Because it's rather easy to frighten population. And now we have to work with policemen to tell them that their children will live under dictatorship. Do you want this future for your children, or to give them some assurance that they, you know, will feel safely in the future country? They normal policemen, normal workers who didn't commit crimes towards Belarusians, future Belarus will also need policemen for sure, and they will continue to work in this country if they are not criminals. And you know, just to like we have to appeal to right police, to Amon and Guboki and Gubopik workers, to try to persuade them that they have to work not because of fear, also not because of, you know, gaining any profits, but for for Belarus, for they will be respected in the future, Belarus. You know, they will not be frightened by regime. Their hands will not be in blood like nowadays, you know. So we have to work with this group of people.
And Ms. Tichanowska, we have seen less protests in the last months in compared to the ones in August and September. Could you conclude that Lukashenko's repression is working?
Of course, I can't deny that repressions are working. Of course they do, because it's rather difficult to, you know, to sustain this repression. Because try to feel the level of fear among the population of Belarus. You know, usually people who that have ever participated in any peaceful demonstrations or who dared to put on national symbol, I don't know, a white, red, white jacket or something, I don't know, just if you dared to show that you are against dictator and regime, you every morning you go to your work and you have to think that you should be ready, that somewhere in the middle of the day you can be arrested. So every morning you take warm clothes, toothpaste, soap, toilet paper with you, just in case you are taken somewhere on the streets. You also have to think that in the middle of night, your apartment can be broken in by riot police, your flat can be searched just for any reasons, just because you have white, red, white snowflakes on your windows. You know, it's a extremely high level of fear among people, for sure, because you are afraid for yourself, you are afraid for the members of your family. If, for example, you have been somewhere on the demonstrations or again showing openly your position in the school where your child is studying, teachers can treat them like differently because your parent are positioners or something like this, or structures of children care. I don't know how it's in English, when, you know, for they can come to your flat to investigate if your child is living in good conditions, even if you are rich people, but you have you know, you know, they can just the interest to your family can increase if you have position against regime and dictator. You know, of course, it is scary what's going on. Every day you can be jailed. It's not normal. Of course, repressions are working, but despite of all this, people are not losing confidence that everything will finish soon. That they will not ready to come back to the state we have been living for 26 years. That we will win. And this is the most important thing, despite of repression. You know, riot police will never make people love Lukashenko or believe Lukashenko, you know.
Last but not least, Ms. Tichanowska, how do you keep faith in a for you good ending, which means returning back to a Belarus without Lukashenko as president?
Look, I don't have right to lose this hope. I don't have right to stop fighting because thousands of people are in jail. Hundreds of thousands have been tortured and violated. So I just, because I don't have right to do this, I'm really tired. I'm also frightened. I'm frightened for my husband. I'm frightened for other people. But I know till I have strength, I will fight. And the majority of Belarusian people think the same. So mm-hmm. we for sure will win. It is marathon, as we see, and it will be tough time for Belarusians, but we will not lose this belief that we will win, and we will.
And will you return while Lukashenko is still in his palace? Like we saw Navalny is getting back to Russia while his opponent Putin is still in place.
The situation between me and Navalny, you know, the situation of Navalny is a little bit different than my situation because he's a politician. He knew that he was ready to be jailed. My task is to lead country to new elections. And here in safeness, I can do much, much more than if in jail, because just my returning back means I will be jailed just immediately. So, I want to come back. I adore my motherhood. I adore Belarus, and I want to live there. And I will be ready to come back as soon as a kind of negotiation start, or when politician prisons will be released, when I feel safe enough to be there.
But in other words, you will not return to Belarus when Lukashenko is still in place, right?
Yes, this is so.
I hope you're doing well in Lithuania. Are you feeling okay?
No, I'm always hesitating while answering this question. Physically, yes, I'm okay. I feel rather safe, but I'm not okay until people in Belarus are in jails, while people are suffering there, while people live in fear there. So, no, I'm not okay.
We wish you nevertheless all the best, Ms. Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, and I hope that one day you can return to your country, Belarus. Thank you very much for talking to us on Perestroikas, and we wish you all the best in right now in Vilnius and hopefully in the future in Belarus.
Thank you. Thank you for a wonderful conversation.
For our Dutch listeners, listen this Friday to our marathon podcast about Belarus. In this episode, the Perestroikast looks forward and back to the past 6 months. Six eventful and historic months since the presidential elections of 9th of August.
With guests like Franka Hummels, Koen Verhelst, Ron Keller and Michiel Driebergen, we'll talk about the position of women in Belarus, the role of the EU, the role of Russia, Lithuania, and the energy among the protesters, which is still there.
Mensen vind je razendsnel op Temper. Plaats je shift op het platform en kies zelf uit duizenden freelance professionals op basis van hun ratings en skills. Van 1 tot 100 man, voor één shift of regelmatig, je vindt ze op Temper. Al vanaf 18,90 per uur. Temper, shift your workforce.